Hey, it's Brian Cook, your host here. Wanted to let you know we now have t-shirts. Would you like to support the podcast? Have you noticed that I can't get a sponsor because this show's too filthy? Hey, it'd be great if some people ordered shirts. They're great looking shirts. Go to estoymerchandise.com, E-S-T-O-Y merchandise.com. You'll find competitive erotic fanfiction on the right-hand side. Click on that and you can order shirts. There's men's and women's sizes. It's a great design by my buddy Mark Palm in Seattle. He does all of our amazing poster art. Please support the podcast. It would help us out a ton. That's estoymerchandise.com. E-S-T-O-Y merchandise.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 133 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Upcoming shows include August 16th at the Virgil in Los Angeles, where today's show was recorded back on July 19th of this year, 2015. This is round one, featuring Giovanni Lanaio, Jordan Morris, Colleen Watson, and Troy Walker, reading pieces they wrote in advance based upon topics of their choosing. Enjoy.
Here we go with your first round one competitor who's brought a prepared piece, Colleen Watson, ladies and gentlemen. Colleen!
They were fighting again. They always fought. I'm heading out to the shed. About Sean, the titular character of Shaun of the Dead, now in his mid-30s with 50 extra pounds and thinning red hair on both his head and balls. For years, his balls have only been filled with the runny disappointment. Of course, go run to the shed like you always do, Liz cries. Go wallow in your guilt. Guilt? What guilt? I have nothing to be guilty about. I saved you. Saved me? Sean, you got all my friends and your best friend killed. You're a pathetic little man who couldn't save his friends and who now can't save himself from his pathetic life or his broken dick. Nothing changes. You go to work, drink yourself stupid at the Phoenix, then come home. But there's no rising from the ashes for your dead cock. Liz loves the theater, reading, and making fun of Sean's erectile dysfunction. Not in that order. God, I hate your stupid, stupid cock. Liz spits as tears well in Sean's eyes and he races out to the shed for comfort. He opens the door to see Ed, poor zombie Ed, still chained up in the shed. The years have not been kind to Ed. He's bloated, swarmed by flies, and most of the skin has fallen off the left side of his face. Ed stares dumbly at the telly, pushing random buttons on a video game controller. For the first time that day, Sean smiles. Hey, Ed. Sean ducks under the hundreds of hanging pine tree air fresheners that ineffectually blend pine fresh with rotting body left in a hot shed. Sean enjoys the scent and breathes in deeply. It's always been this way with Ed. That's why they were friends. Ed always made him feel alive. Sean sits down next to Ed and picks up the second controller. Player two has entered the game. He looks over at the slippery pile of rotting meat that is his best friend. A fuzzy green moss has started to cover Ed's back and upper thighs, which to Sean looks like the rolling hills of Ireland. Sean wistfully pats the necrotic skin on Ed's cheek and a small patch sticks to Sean's hand. Sean feels a throb in his groin. It confuses him and he lets the moment pass. Ed grunts and makes an attempt to take a bite of Sean's hand. Ed, Sean says playfully. Sean continues to stare at Ed. Ed is the only good thing in his life. Ed is what he thinks about when he fucks Liz. Ed is why he makes her wear dozens of pine tree air fresheners whenever they make love. But she isn't Ed. Sean puts his hand to Ed's cheek again. Ed tries to take another bite, and his last tooth tumbles to the ground. Seeing the gaping hole of rotting tissue and congealed blood makes Sean instantly hard. Should he? He should. He pulls down his pants. For the first time in years, his shiny little pole stands at attention, barely visible past his bulging, sweaty gut, both quivering in anticipation. Ed tries to take a bite again, but is held back by the chains. Sean's upper lip begins to sweat. Ed must sense that something is different, because instead of... My printer doesn't work. Instead of a half-hearted attempt to bite Sean, he starts straining at the chains. Sean grabs the back of Ed's head and shoves his veiny meat stick into his toothless corpse, blood-caked meat slide. The inside of Ed's mouth should have been dry and dusty, but it's full of pus and mildew. It felt like heaven. Sean gyrates against the head of his dead friend. Knowing that he could never go back to the living female arms of Liz, his wife, he groans in ecstasy. As Ed gums at Sean, Sean feels Ed's fuzzy, lifeless tongue frantically lap at his dick, like a heat-struck caterpillar wriggling his last breath out in the sun. Ed grunts loudly and tries to eat Sean's dick. Sean spasms on top of him, frantically face-fucking his oldest, deadest chum. Until he can feel his orgasm charging through him, revitalizing him, making him remember what it was like to give a damn. Sean shoots his warm, gooey load so hard it drips out of the holes in Ed's throat, coating his neck, then collapses, finally sated. But it wasn't enough. Sean needs more. Not for himself. He isn't a selfish lover. He needs to return the favor. He crawls back over to Ed, unchains him, and scrapes some of the rot away from Ed's flaccid member. Unable to control himself, he shoves the rot scraps into his mouth and moans. Sean lifts Ed's belly, heavy with 5 years of liquefied intestines, and grabs his grayish worm of a penis. A tiny bit of dry blood drips out of their urethra like like crimson, morbid pre-cum. "You've got red on you," Sean lovingly says, before taking the squishy, putrescent knob in his mouth. It tastes like home. Miraculously, Ed's moldy, dead cock starts to show life. It's getting harder, and so is Sean. The more Sean sucks, the bigger it grows, until it gags him with a length and girth you wouldn't expect from an English guy. Ed grunts loudly and climaxes into Sean, spewing 5 years worth of saved-up dead jism, coagulated and lumpy, like the frothy mess inside the unwashed panties of an elderly woman with a lifelong yeast infection. Sean swallows happily. He looked up, and there was Ed, whole again, living and breathing like before Zed Day. He'd sucked the man alive. Finally, they could be together. Ed and Sean hug, crying and laughing at the miracle. They head inside to tell Liz the happy news. Liz hears Sean and Ed come in. "Sean, is that you?" She sees Sean is now a zombie-like Ed, and her stomach turns with fear. Then, another feeling. She sees their filthy, maggot-covered soft cocks, puts down her Mary Claire magazine, and mouths, "Three-way?"
Colleen Watson.
Good job, Colleen.
Here we go for Mr. Jordan Morris.
Hey, guys. Just a little background before I start. I'm a big fan of the Mortal Kombat video games, and I thought it'd be fun... another person is. I thought it would be fun, since they came out with a sequel this year, to do kind of a Mortal Kombat erotic story. And then I sat down to write it, and I had this weird sense of deja vu. And then I realized I've done this before. I found an old English notebook of mine from 1994. This was eighth grade. I was around 12 years old. I just want to show this to you. We got some Stussy signs. It says Green Day, Metallica. Oh, and over here it says it's currently 1994. So, you know, this is legit. I wrote this when I was 12. Maybe not the best writer, but here's a little glimpse into my mind back then. The Ice Ninja Sub-Zero entered the Emperor's Great Hall. Tomorrow he would engage in the battle known as Mortal Kombat, but tonight he and his fellow fighters would feast before the throne of the cruel Emperor Shang Tsung. Shang Tsung entered in a really rad way, and Sub-Zero took his rightful seat at the grown-ups table because people respected him and thought he was cool. He was shaving now, and everyone knew it. The Emperor raised his hands to address the room full of cool fighters. "Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow you will fight each other till you are dead, but tonight we feast. My dad will soon return from McDonald's, and each of you are getting your own 10-piece chicken nuggets, and you don't have to share with anyone. Also, it's totally cool if you swear, and later we'll watch The Simpsons. I don't think it's a bad example, even if Bart does backtalk." Sub-Zero settled in for the feast, but he knew soon after the party he would have to battle. It was a weird feeling, like when Sub-Zero's uncle gave him a sip of beer at Thanksgiving. The next day, he entered the fighting room to fight. It was fighting time. His opponent was the beautiful Special Forces agent, Sonya Blade. She was tall and blonde and looked like a combination of Cindy Crawford, April from the Ninja Turtles, that one woman on page 5 of the underwear section of the Sears catalog, and that girl whose top came off at the water park that one time. She opened her mouth to talk and address the ninja. Sub-Zero, you and I must now fight, even though I find you very cool and handsome, and those Stridex pads your mom got you are really clearing up your skin. The ninja responded, thank you, Sonya. I agree that if these circumstances were different, you and I could probably be boyfriend-girlfriend. I'll be getting my learner's permit soon and could drive us to Six Flags. My mom would be in the back seat and wouldn't let us listen to any music with swearing, but I bet it would be pretty fun anyway. The lady fighter said, that would be really cool. Also something about me is that I don't care if guys want to play video games, like Becky or those other girls from youth group who were all weird that one time at Ryan's house. That's really cool of you, said Sub-Zero. Silence, yelled Emperor Shang Tsung. It's fighting time now, so use all your best karate moves and say cool stuff while you're doing karate. Fight now! Sub-Zero and Sonya started to fight. They punched and kicked, and it was all super R-rated. Sonya kicked him in the face, and a bunch of his teeth came out like birds flying out of a big tree. He yelled out in pain, fucking shit, piss in a butt, goddamn, Lord's name in vain. He summoned all of his super rad strength and conjured up his ice blast attack that would freeze Sonya in her tracks. He threw the ice ball at her and wanted it to hit her, and it did. She was frozen, like a woman who was also a popsicle. He moved in to deliver his death blow, but he couldn't do it. Her eyes were too beautiful, and her boobs were too huge. His super huge crush on her melted the ice. Their eyes met like two butterflies that were flying around the same flower. Okay, this is a little weird. There's just kind of a break in the story, and it just says, Private Henry Fleming represented the typical young man who enlisted in the Civil War. I think the next few pages are just a book report about the Red Badge of Courage. Starts here again. Sorry. Sonya opened up her rad lips to speak. Ninja, even though you are my enemy, I want to kiss you. I don't care if this is your first one. Everyone develops at a different speed, and you shouldn't judge yourself by what the other kids in your class are doing. I want to kiss you too, said Sub-Zero. Bring me your lips and tongue now. He removed his masks, and their lips pressed, and it wasn't weird at all. The stately warrior woman pressed herself into him. He had a boner, and she thought that was really cool. She whispered in his ear, I like your boner. It's really cool. She took off her shirt, and her boobs dumped out all over the place. She then took his boner and put it in her mouth, which is something that happens when men and women do it. Matthew Dudley's older brother totally said so. She sucked and sucked, and it got harder and harder. Then she laid down and showed him her privates. They did it all the ways, even 69. I know what that is and how to do it, I just don't want to say right now. They fucked and sexed all over the place. He could feel a feeling in his wiener. He was totally about to sperm. The cruel Emperor Shang Tsung yelled, finish him. Sonya and Sub-Zero both spermed at the same time. It was over. Mortal Kombat was now Mortal Combat. Then they barfed and farted.
Jordan Morris! Fans of the podcast might notice that 12-year-old Jordan Morris writes a lot like adult Dave Hill. Keep it going for Troy Walker, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Troy Walker.
Sup, dude?
So I did comedians and cars getting caught. It was a beautiful day in Los Angeles, or at least it was in certain parts of town, including deep Beverly Hills, where Jerry Seinfeld drove a brand new McLaren MP4 12C. It was a beautiful car with 616 horsepower, a top speed of 207 miles per hour, 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds, almost as fast as a Tesla. It was a supercar in all ways. It was the perfect car for today, Jerry thought, as he drove down Sunset. It was full of fire and fury, unbreakable energy, and undeniable sexiness. Just like the day's guest, Don Rickles. Seinfeld was eager to see Rickles again, having always worshipped him as a boy. Now a man, Jerry still found himself wanting to please the older, wiser comic, to prove to him that he belonged in the pantheon of stand-ups with him, as an equal. The stunning car pulled up to the gorgeous mansion where Don Rickles laid his head. As if he sensed Jerry's arrival, Don was waiting on the curb. "You're late, dummy," Rickles said as the supercar pulled up to him. "What late? It's coffee. Where do you have to be?" "Nice car you have here. Is it German? You know how I feel about the Germans, Jerry." "It's not German," Jerry assured his idol as the two climbed into the car to head to a nearby coffee shop. The day was thick with anticipation. Not just for the inevitable thing one of them would say that the internet would call offensive, but with something more, something carnal. "What's that smell?" Jerry asked. "I'm an old man," Rickles said. "If I ask that question whenever I smelled something, I never get anything done." Jerry felt it move and began to harden. They arrived with little fanfare, but were instantly noticed by the staff as soon as they walked in. Jerry, because of his hit TV show, and Don, because he looked like a liability. One young barista was particularly taken with the grizzled Rickles. Having moved to L.A. 7 years ago to be an actress, she had known only failure and had been a coffee jockey for longer than she could remember. She had always had a fetish for older men, and when she saw the dashing Seinfeld walk in with what she initially thought was a potato in golf pants, she felt her thighs becoming slick with her womanly do. She was stunned. Failing at her dream, having crushed all life, joy, and identity out of her, she couldn't remember the last time she had felt herself become aroused. The shop was empty save for the two legends, who ambled slowly over and sat in a booth in the back as she approached. "May I help you?" she asked with a quiver. "Yeah, you work here?" said Rickles, noticing the stunning young woman's ample breasts and lifeless eyes. "They holding you hostage or something?" he continued while Jerry cackled in approval above the table and stiffened even more below. "Bring us two cups of coffee and be quick about it. I'll be dead soon," said Don. The barista left and returned with two cups of coffee for the men, who now noticed the sweat on her brow, hardening nipples, and quickening breathing. "What's happening here?" exclaimed Jerry. "I know what's going on," said Don, turning towards her. "This used to happen to Sinatra all the time. You haven't lived till you've seen a Bobby Soxer in Atlantic City do this." The barista began to lower herself before Rickles. She began undoing his clothing slowly while Jerry watched. First his belt, then his ill-fitting white golf pants, then his adult diaper, before removing what Jerry initially thought was a potato and taking it in her mouth. But once she began to suck, he realized it was the biggest potato he had ever seen. "I can't believe this is happening," said Jerry. Now fully erect himself and as terrible an actor as ever. "Oh, they didn't teach you this on your cute little TV show," said Don, savoring every second, and thinking back to when Marilyn had blown everyone but Sammy at the Copa all those years ago. "You know, 'cause he was colored," Don exhaled as the barista bobbed up and down. "What?" said Jerry. "Nothing," said Don. The barista couldn't believe this was happening. Here she was, feeling something within her awaken again. She sucked harder. Honestly, she couldn't believe a man of Don's age was able to get hard so easily. It felt like a leather brickbat in her hand. She was now dripping wet and eager to feel it, whatever it was, inside her. "Get over here, dummy," said Don, turning her around and sliding her soaking wet panties down from her pert, supple actress ass. "I've seen better vaginas on elephants," he continued, taking in the scene before bringing her down on his lap, entering her sopping wet spunk socket with his wrinkled, weathered wallet whopper. She did all the work for the old industry vet while Jerry looked on, bouncing up and down with hip-shattering gusto and taking every thrust without so much as a blink of her dead, soulless, shark-like eyes. "Sweetheart, hurry up, will you? Some of us have careers," said Don. Jerry was astounded. He knew that even at this age, he could learn from the old vet. but had no idea how much. He began to stroke himself under the table and looked on. The barista picked up her pace, harder and faster. She could feel he was close. "What are you, a Reno act?" Don screamed as he reached his climax. The barista felt herself give in too, her legs shaking with ecstasy as the old man's cottage cheese filled her insides. Don, now satisfied, took a sip of the coffee. "This is colder than Joey Bishop," he said before sending it back with the barista. Jerry was currently coming like a maniac and watching the entire thing. What really sent him over the top was watching the coffee get sent back. Don turned to Jerry. "Leave the tip, will you, kid?" before crawling back out to the car.
Troy Walker, the dropout. Giving over Giovanni Lanaio, your final round one competitor.
Oh, Amelia Bedelia, your first day of work and I can't be here, but I made a list for you. You do just what the list says, said Mrs. Rogers. Mrs. Rogers got into the car with Mr. Rogers. They drove away. My, what nice folks, said Amelia Bedelia. I'm going to like being a maid much more than turning tricks. From now on, I'll let the vacuum do the sucking. Now, let's see what this list says. Amelia Bedelia read, please do the laundry. Do the laundry, said Amelia Bedelia. Oh man, of course. I don't even know how to fuck laundry. But I must do just what the list says. All right. Amelia Bedelia spit in her hand. She rubbed it all along the rim of the laundry basket. Then she squatted over those dirty clothes and started stroking them with her wet, smelly redfish bluefish. In and out she went, stuffing jeans in her giant peach, a hat in her cap, and chinos in her chocolate factory. Until every piece was fucked. Whew, said Amelia Bedelia. Doing laundry is hard. But I got all those Thomas tanks into my engine. Amelia Bedelia looked at her list. Help yourself to a Coke after you finish in the laundry room. Uh-oh, said Amelia Bedelia. I didn't finish. She rushed back into the laundry room and sat right down on the pile of sticky clothes. Rub-a-dub-dub, she fingered her loose button, saying, mmm, jacket, mmm, jacket. Ooh, she got downy on herself. And Jack and Jilled off on that laundry until she gained a tide. It shot out like curds and whey through her mulberry bush. I finished, exclaimed Amelia Bedelia, and she helped herself to the Coke she brought, politely snorting a line. Let's see, she said, and looked at her list again. When the sun comes in, please pull the drapes and turn on the air conditioner. Okay, Amelia shrugged and dry-jerked the curtains until their shredded tassels littered the carpet. I pulled the drapes. Time to turn on the AC. Hey, you, said Amelia Bedelia. Want to put some wind in my willows? But the air conditioner did not respond. Amelia Bedelia undid the bow of her white ruffled maid apron and let it fall to the floor. Aren't you curious, George? Said Amelia Bedelia. Oof, my moves aren't working on AC Slater. Amelia Bedelia dropped her feather duster and bent over to pick it up. Derriere to air conditionary air. You could totally see her hot cross buns. She called that move the goodnight moon. She bent over further and spread her cheeks. Brown bear, what do you see? Everybody poops, am I right? No? She tried to turn on the AC by sending naughty texts like, my mouse wants a cookie, and I'm feeling giving tree. She even sent pictures of her secret garden, but it still wasn't turned on. So Amelia Bedelia quit fucking around and got into a G-string and an AC/DC t-shirt and then played Madden NFL on Xbox One while eating bacon pizza. That should have worked! Gosh darn it, said Amelia Bedelia, and she kicked the air conditioner right in the knob. Why it got turned on, all right? Oh, somebody likes to get kicked in the ball bearings. I see where the wild things are. Okay. One more item on the list. Bring Clifford inside. He's a shy dog, but make him come. Mr. and Mrs. Rogers' car pulled up in the driveway. Phew, said Amelia Bedelia. Welcome home, Mr. and Mrs. Rogers. Gasp, said Mrs. Rogers. Amelia Bedelia, why is there goo all over the laundry? You told me to finish, said Amelia Bedelia. Squirt and swallow is extra. Whoa, said Mr. Rogers. She sells, I'm sure. Amelia Bedelia, what's that on the coffee table? Baking soda? Asked Mrs. Rogers. Kind of. I got it on the low low. What happened here? The drapes and carpet are a mess. That's my handiwork. Ha ha, date drape rug. Said Amelia Bedelia proudly. The AC is turned on, but it looks like it got kicked in the knob. And Amelia Bedelia said, hey, I don't judge. You didn't even get the dog up, said Mrs. Rogers. Yeah, well, that one was a gross idea, so I just glossed over it. Mrs. Rogers was angry as could be. She opened her mouth to tell Amelia Bedelia she was fired, but Mr. Rogers put something in her mouth. It was his first boner in 12 years. What are you meaning a riff? Said Mrs. Rogers. Mr. Rogers had seen the bacon pizza, Madden NFL, petite rock tea, and G-string in the living room, and chicka chicka boom boom, he got a very hungry caterpillar. Mrs. Rogers got so cloudy at the chance of meatballs, then she hopped on Pop, and their old asses went Humpty Dumpty, fucking a wrinkle in time. And they weren't mad at Amelia Bedelia anymore.
G-Y-O-N-I-O. G-Y-O, you can stay right here. Let's get everybody from around one back to the stage. In a second, you guys are going to be voting on a winner. First, I'm just going to remind you of what everybody read. We started with Colleen Watson with Shaun of the Dead, then Jordan Morris with Mortal Kombat, Troy Walker with Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and finally Giovanni Lanaio with Amelia Bedelia. So, pick a favorite with your applause, starting from Colleen Watson, Shaun of the Dead. Jordan Morris, Mortal Kombat. Troy Walker, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And Giovanni Lanaio, Amelia Bedelia. Your round one champion, Giovanni Lanaio, let her hear it. Big round of applause for all of your round one competitors. Thanks, gang.
That does it for round one. To hear round two, you can download episode 134 next week. And if you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It's a big help, as are positive comments. For details on upcoming shows, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.